As promised, we're joined right now by the head football coach at Duke. He is entering his 10th season there. He was the 2013 National Coach of the Year, Coach of the Year Award winner in both the SEC and the ACC. He led Duke to bowl games in four of the last 5 years. Duke opens up against North Carolina Central September 2nd. David Cutcliffe is my guest. David, good to have you back. How are you?
Hey, Jim. I am doing well, and I heard the black belt part, so are you a preview fight on Saturday night? Is that what is happening?
Yeah, exactly. They're going to have me fight on the undercard, David, because there's no shortage of people that want to punch me in the face. But I'm not going to be there, but I'll be watching it for sure. And I appreciate you taking that all in. Let me start here. You talked about how this might be the most talented and deepest team that you've had during your time at Duke. You've got some youth as well. So what have you seen in fall camp in terms of how close that talent is to taking the next step?
Well, we've been kind of just that. We have shown incredible sparks, some longer than others, but 42% of our scholarship roster are either redshirt freshmen or true freshmen. So I'm not going to say inconsistent, but not as consistent as we would like. But this team can run. It's very deep as opposed to teams we've had here in the past. So I like the competition. That's been good for us.
David Cutcliffe joining us. You've always struck me as somebody who's incredibly self-aware. As an example, I would say this. You're coming off a season where things didn't necessarily go according to plan, and one of the things that you said is that you probably could pick 10 reasons why it didn't go well. Quote, but the biggest one, and I mean this sincerely, is that I didn't have our team as ready as it needed to be, end quote. So what do you mean by that? And when you look back on last season, how does that impact the way you approach this season?
Well, it's impacted it a great deal. What I think I did a poor job of was maturing our team. I think I took for granted that our team understood how to deal with adversity, that we had enough older people. I liked our captains, but we really didn't grow our team and mature it as we should have. I shouldn't say we. I take full credit for that. I put the practice schedule together, the approach, et cetera. And I just didn't think our team handled adversity very well, particularly early. That falls right on the head coach. So we have been through, I would call it a grind. And I intentionally have put them under a great deal of adversity. And to be honest with you, probably the staff doesn't love me right now. But that's okay. Hopefully we're doing everything we can to have ourselves prepared.
Duke head football coach David Cutcliffe joining us. Now, that said, it was not that long ago that kind of season that you had last year was pretty much the norm at Duke. As an example, before you arrived, the school had not won 5 games in a season or been to a bowl game since 1994. So what does that tell you about how far the program has come?
Well, I love the expectations, and, you know, I think I certainly wasn't the only one around here disappointed. I know that many of our fans, and I loved it. I mean, they were irritated, and isn't that a great sign, as you just said? But I think most importantly, our staff, which is the same group of men coming back, our team, many of those guys that are coming back, I think we were probably as disappointed as you could think to be. And they're hungry. I like that. You know, we got to, as I said, become more consistent. It's not enough to be hungry. You have to be hungry and good. And that's kind of been our theme.
And there is talent on the roster. And one of the talented players on the roster is quarterback Daniel Jones. He accounted for more than 3,300 yards and 23 touchdowns as a redshirt freshman. How does he look to you now as he gets ready for his second season as the starter?
Well, he's much better. He's a better physical specimen. So in every aspect, running, throwing, he's stronger. And then it's daylight and dark. You know, he came into last year's fall practice expecting to be the number three quarterback. And suddenly he's thrust into starting. And he actually really responded incredibly well. He's really poised, really bright. And I've been really pleased with him. He's not where we think he's going to be by any means, and he knows he's got things he's learning daily. We had a nice little lesson out there this morning. He probably, again, wasn't all that pleasant from a standpoint of the lessons, but I just see this guy's got talent, and we need to help him reach his potential.
Duke head football coach David Cutcliffe is joining us once again. Now, you recently have been tweeting out pictures of your former Duke players in the NFL. What does it mean to you to see them meeting up with each other in preseason games? And then how much pride do you and the program take in that?
Well, I love that. I think we had one or two when we came in that were in the league, and now we've got 15, 16 on rosters that I think have great chances of being there on opening day. Some of them certainly will be, and some guys that are draft choices, some guys. You know, I think maybe, Jim, I'm as proud of this as anything. We have an incredibly high number of free agents in the National Football League, and that should tell people something about the type people they are, the habits they develop while they're here, and that's been something we're very proud of.
You know, I had Harold Landry from Boston College on the show earlier today, and we talked about the fact that on one recruiting visit from BC, one of his dogs bit an assistant coach. Now, you've got a million stories like that probably, but I know one in particular, when you were an assistant in Tennessee, you made a home visit to a recruit, and a cockroach was crawling up your leg. How did that come about, and what's going through your mind when that happens?
Well, it wasn't just a singular cockroach. Okay. It was multitudes. This was a house much like I grew up in, and we had all of a sudden 19-degree weather in this small, small house down in the deep south. And they had a space heater going in there. And so I'm sitting on a couch. It's a nice piece of furniture, but it's covered in plastic to protect the cloth. And I'm starting to sweat. And every bug in that neighborhood has come into that warmth. And they are now crawling up my pants leg. I'm trying not to look at them, you know, because they're on the floor, they're on this particular piece of furniture, and I'm the only one there. I felt like I was in a Richard Pryor story, if you know anything about Richard Pryor. I didn't know where Miss Rudolph or who was getting ready to come out the back room and put some voodoo on me, but that was maybe the worst one by far. And by the way, I wished I would have been in Harold Landry's house and bitten by his dog. I would have taken that to get Harold Landry, believe me.
Yeah, right. Good, good
we
dude.
Tried
a great,
hard.
Great player. Yeah, he's something else. You know, so then it comes to recruiting then. It's changed over time for sure. So how much has recruiting changed over the time you've been in the game? Is it pretty much the same as it's been, or do players and their families have different expectations now?
Well, it's completely different because of the internet, social media, recruiting services, the awareness that we start way too early, which, you know, I think is not healthy for young people. It's not even healthy for parents that haven't been through this before. I'm a little frightened by the trend of legislation because these are people that really aren't living it day to day. And it's drastically changed. And so we see in a lot of sports, they're trying to go back the other way in some of the Olympic sports. They have found that they're committing people as 9th and 10th graders. The other day, I had another sport here ask me to talk to one of their prospects, their top prospects, and the youngster was a 2021 graduate.
Wow.
I couldn't even do the math on that one for a minute. You know, okay, what grade, you know? And so I think that we need, it's young people's lives. These are big time decisions. And what I would tell them is the same thing I would tell any coach. You need to find places that fit the value system you have. You need to find places that really fulfill your personality and your purpose. It's a serious decision. And I hate all these early, early, early commitments, to be honest with you.
David Cutcliffe joining us, and I'm sure you would tell me also that it's not an easy fix, and that's something we can pick up at some other point. Before I let you go, though, I want to ask you about Eli Manning and the fact that back in April, Manning and most of the Giants receivers, their tight ends, their running backs, came to Duke for their annual training camp. You supervised those workouts. So what kinds of things do you and Eli work on at this point in his career? In other words, are they big picture things or maybe small things about football and tiny details in mechanics?
Well, a lot of it starts with mechanics. We study, you know, all of us, you know, after a period of time, we're a product of our habits. And if you get in a certain habit at quarterback, it can consume you. And so we look, I always, before he comes in for about a week, I watch a bunch of their tape very closely. I make cut-ups. He and I sit down with that. And then I ask him what he wants to accomplish with his receivers. We go through all of those guys, backs, tight ends, what we have to do to make it better. timing, trust, communication between the two to where they can throw the ball and he knows exactly what to expect. That's a big thing in our world that we've done for 30 years in the passing game. It's an interesting sport. Receivers and quarterbacks do communicate, but it's completely nonverbal. It's all body language and even really kind of the mentality of a clock, a mental clock. I love it because that's the pure parts of coaching. I get to do that for a week with them. And by the way, he's healthy, or at least he was then. I mean, he's had to battle some things that he privately and keeps quiet, but he's healthy. He looked tremendous. And I thought those guys worked with a hunger. I've checked with him via text. We're both in camp, but he feels like that attitude has stayed there with them. He's excited about the way they're going about their work, and that's good to hear.
You know, a final thought, and I've got about a minute left, but that mention of hunger. I mean, this is a guy with two Super Bowl rings and nearly 50,000 passing yards. He doesn't have to do the kind of work that he does in the offseason with you. What's it say about him that he does?
Well, he is an amazing the family. Let me just start with Archie and Olivia, but you know, it's you never get satisfied. I mean, he loves to compete, and if you're a true competitor, you want to be your best. And I'm going to tell you now, I pray he stays healthy. He's throwing the ball better right now. His strength, his quickness, his hand quickness, all of those things we work on are just absolutely on fire right now. I was really happy for him when he was in here, and I just pray that he can be protected and stay healthy and it all works out. He's got some good players around him in that skill position. I don't know a lot about their line, but they've got some people right now.
He is the head football coach at Duke. He's entering his 10th season there, and Duke is going to open up against North Carolina Central on September 2nd. David Cutcliffe, my guest. David, so good to get caught up, and always nice to visit with you. Thanks so much for it.
Jim, you're always welcome to make a stop in at Duke anytime.
I'd love to do that, Coach. I'd love to do that. A college visit. I've got a soon-to-be college-age kid. I may take you up on that, Coach.